Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm just going to
thank you.
Oh, great.
Thank you, and just thank you for being with us, for praying with us, for your faithfulness. The time is coming, and it's very close at hand, when you're going to think that every day you spent praying for this country is being rewarded you here on this earth, because it will be. You can never sell God short. He can't owe a debt to anyone when he is the creator of every living thing. So at the end of our lives, we can see how small our contribution was and how great his thankfulness was and how great his mercies and his willingness and ability to do what he said he's going to do. By the time we get done, he gets all the glory, and we're so thankful we just got to walk with him in his vision. I'm talking to you for just a moment tonight because Ricky felt like I needed to share at least one of the visions that I have received about the work of J.A. I may share two. I don't know. Maybe I'll share one and then share another one next week. I don't know. But I can tell you that I had a supreme experience while I was in living in NOLA, in which the Lord commissioned me to bring about the release of Joel's army and commissioned me to. I had other commissions on this too, incidentally. So there's been, I don't know, two or three times when he's added to the commission himself. I've always known when he was doing it, how he was doing it, because we're always face to face. But looking back now, I can see why he made such issues of this, because this turned out to be a huge job just to get here. And what he's going to do with everything that he has purposed through the work of J.A. and the gatherings and our weekly prayer calls, we're going to see something that is going to be so glorious, it will shake not just America, not just the church, but the earth. The earth has never seen anything like it. And like Bob Jones once told me, that once revival is released, it will go from glory to glory until the end of time. He said, he told me that God had shown him that there will be no interruption once it's been released because of all the preparatory work that we are doing. So we're all going to find out that faithfulness was a very important key in our lives. And giving that faithfulness to God, his plans and purposes, whether other people understood it or not, will be so richly rewarded that the glory will be so far outstrip any affliction that there will be no comparison. I do remember at the very beginning of the gatherings, if I recall, I'm trying to think of where I was when I saw this heavenly vision. I'm not remembering it, but it may have been when I was in NOLA. But I saw this burst of light come down from the heavens to the earth in the Seattle region. Once that burst of light hit the earth, I saw arches of light, like laser beam, arches of light go down in cities all over America. It was so beautiful. It was so glorious. I was beside myself, and I really wanted him to help me understand what he was trying to show me, but I don't remember that he did that right away. I think he waited just a little while, let me pray over it, let me mull over it. Before he finally spoke to me, he gave me that particular vision all over again. And I said, Lord, please don't leave until you tell me what it is you're trying to show me. And this part I know I got after we moved to Seattle. And he said to me, everywhere that the arch of light hits in America, I will plant a JA cell group, a prayer cell group. The pillars that will go into the earth will go all the way down into the tectonic plates as though they had been hammered in by a great, the anvil, if you will, the hammer of the judge will pound those pillars into the tectonic plates until those pillars become the stabilizing factor of keeping America together, pulling America through what she must endure to get us where he wants us to be. And these pillars going down into the tectonic plates will stabilize the foundation of America like it would if it were concrete, and the pillars being driven into the concrete. I saw it twice, both when he gave me the first vision, the second vision when he actually told me what it meant, and it was a powerful and beautiful thing to me. I shared the experience and many other things that the Lord gave me when I was still in NOLA about J.A. And I shared it with Shio. Most of you know who he is. I shared it with Pastor Shio. And I said to him, the Lord wants me to raise up J.A. prayer cells all over the earth, but most especially and first and foremost here in America. And they're going to give great stability to the land wherever they're driven in. But to actually fulfill this commission, although I do have thoughts in my mind, I'm not sure that these thoughts are the most accurate. And would you please create a diagram for me to see, show me what I'm saying to you and what it means to you. And he prepared a document for me. I was in shock. I said, Child, this is exactly what I saw. I mean, exactly what I saw. How did you know? He said, well, you spoke very clearly. I mean, he did this like within a half an hour. You spoke very clearly, so I just recorded what you said. And I said, I didn't realize that I said all that. And he said, well, to me, you did. So here's the documentation that you were asking for. I hope it will bless you. You know, he's so sweet and so humble. And so we still work off of that, even today. I'm sharing this with you because I want you to know it is no small thing for any intercessor to become part of the JA. One person might say, well, you know, a prayer movement, Shmer movement, who cares? You know, if you want to pray, join one of the prayer groups. But we don't have to join JA to pray. And I tell people that share this with me, I tell them, you don't. Whoever told you that is absolutely right. But if you want to align your life with the present plan of God, which is perhaps one of the greatest plans that he has ever put forth, and I say that because God always goes from glory to glory. So it might be one of the greatest plans he has ever devised for earth. And if you want to be a part of that, be a part of praying that in, because that's the commission of this ministry, then you will have to be a part of the one that's commissioned for it. So you need to go home and pray. And if you feel like you want to do it, then we'll look into it with you. So we've gained a good amount of people that are praying with us in America and in other countries, Asian countries, some European countries, just countries kind of spattered all over the place. And we're all praying for the same thing, for God's healing and revival to come to the nations of the earth. This isn't just about praying for America. If someone lives in Asia, I want them praying for Asia. If they live in Canada, I want them praying for Canada. If they live in South America, I want them praying for South America. There are so many nations in the earth that have no one that is anointed to pray in this pillar, this steel-like pillar of God into the earth of their nations. There are so many nations without them, and Satan just wreaks havoc on those nations. And really and truly, I think if you're an intercessor, you're like me. You get tired of seeing it. You want to see people healed, walking with Jesus, running with Jesus, see their lives become gems of his glory. And you're tired of seeing the world being shaken and broken apart, destroyed by Satan. So if that kind of thing is important to you, we need you as much as you need us. And we would love it if we could pray together and spread this net all over the earth. And it will bring about, in the end, the greatest move of God we have ever seen, not through one man, not through 1,000 people, but the church all over the world. So with this, I'll turn it back to John. Again, thank you for being with us. Thank you for working with us. Thank you for praying with us. Please pray that God will continue to expand JA, to even take it into a new level of expansion in preparation for what is coming. And pray that he will see to it that if we need at any time economic help to spread JA, because people that travel and present JA to other places in the earth, as well as America, most of them we support. So there's a lot of cost in doing what we're doing, just on the JA part, not to mention the pantry that we have started and are feeding hundreds of very needy people every week. So please just pray for us. Pray with us. Keep loving us. Keep seeing yourself as part of us, because we see you that way. And God will bless us, each and every one, for our contribution. And I guess that's it, John.
Amen. That was good. Thank you, Nita. Thank you for sharing.
Oh, you're welcome.
Okay, I think Ken and Debbie are next up. Is that right?
That's right. Thank you, John.
Go ahead. Okay.
Praise God. I'm going to let Debbie get us started. Debbie and I will be team teaching tonight, and we'll be talking about Joel's Army and the mantle of Joel's Army. So, Deb, why don't you get us started, and then we'll take off.
Amen. Amen. Ken and I are privileged to work with so many of our intercessors, our Joel's Army intercessors. Our Joel's Army intercessors are blessings.
Yes.
Sent from God.
Yes.
To bless this ministry.
That's
and
right.
We love each one, and that we are just thankful to the Lord.
In the heart of God.
Yes. You know, Joel's Army is more than a prayer network. It is people preparing themselves and the world for the kingdom, the return of his glory, for the return of our Lord. You know, we want to thank Nita for what she said.
That's
because
right.
She alluded to all of this, and it's so important, you know, what the Lord is doing in this season of time.
The vision,
the complete vision of this. It's far more than we realize, far more than we know and understand. The Lord told me once, he said, "You've only just begun to see the tip of the iceberg of what Joel's Army is really all about."
Yes.
You know, and as Anita alluded to, Joel's Army is tied directly to the kingdom. You know, in Acts 2 even, we see Peter quoted from the book of Joel, you know, in Acts 2. The mighty outpouring of his spirit, as Nita said, in the last days. You know, and Nita was talking about her time in NOLA. And in 2011, I'm going to speak the words that Nita has spoken about her experience when the Lord came to her about this. And here is what she said. These are her words. Please listen. "I am sending you forth to save the nation. And you have, but yet a short time to do it. So I'm giving you a new mantle to help you." And Nita continues. She said, "We were doing all that we could do in the GOEs, but we needed you. The Lord needed an army, Joel's army, and he would fashion that army after the book of Joel. The Lord would anoint you, as she said, to become pillars in the land. God had a prophetic reason why you had to be called Joel's Army. In the book of Joel, you find your significance and why you had to be called JA. Read Joel again and again until the Lord just resonates your assignment, your commission, deep within your heart. There is nothing like eating the scroll, as Ezekiel did, until the vision is planted deep inside you. Nothing will turn you. In the eyes of me, of heaven, it is too beautiful and wonderfully beautiful. His purpose unfolding right before your very eyes. Now, Nita said that we should read the book of Joel again and again until the Lord just resonates that assignment, your commission, deep within your heart. There's nothing, she said, like eating the scroll as Ezekiel did until the vision is planted deep inside you.
Praise God. Praise God. Powerful words. This mantle is so important because it is the authority to accomplish everything that God wants to accomplish in this season of time. It will usher in, we'll talk about this in just a minute, it will usher in Isaiah 61. And we'll talk about the other things in just a moment that it's going to usher in. It's so important for us to understand. This is so much bigger than our minds can understand. God fashioned this before the foundation of the world for this season of time. He called you for this season of time to this calling. I want you to see that tonight is going to be a type of impartation about what we're talking about here. God is giving depth for this, for our encouragement, to help us so that when weariness comes and trials come and our faith gets stretched, that we can still see the vision which steadies us and keeps us and helps us refocus. World for Jesus Ministries and JA is not just a ministry. It's so much bigger than that. It's a commissioning. It's mantles that give authority to do the work that God called in this season of time. The intercession is bringing about the restoration of nations, not just America, but the nations. This is God's provision for this season of time,
right,
for the earth,
that's right,
for the whole earth.
That's right.
You're crying out for His kingdom to come, for His will to be done. Every week when you come into your prayer cell, you're crying out the prayer points that were given. You're crying them out all over the nation, all over the nations of the earth. You're crying out before the throne in whatever time that you have. You're crying out the will of God, and God is hearing, and He's going to come and answer. You're crying back to Him what He gives, and He tells us how to pray. He will send the answer that He desires. This is the manna that you carry in these calls. It's like the vision that we see in Habakkuk 2:2. Then Adonai answered me, and He said, write down the vision clearly on tablets so that even a runner can read it. For the vision is meant for an appointed time. It speaks of the end, and it does not lie. It may take a while, but wait for it.
Yes.
For it will surely come, and it will not delay.
Thank you, Lord.
It will not delay. We're in the season that all this is about to be released. So let's talk about for a minute what the vision for us and this mantle is about. It's about Yeshayahu, Isaiah 58, verse 12. There's several scriptures I'm going to read here to frame this for us. Isaiah 58, 12. You will rebuild the ancient ruins and raise foundations from ages past, and be called the repairer of the breach, the repairer of broken walls, the restorer of streets to live in. Isaiah 61:4. They will rebuild the ancient ruins, restore the sites long destroyed. They will renew the ruined cities destroyed many generations ago. Spiritually, you and I are preparing in a legal sense for this to happen. You are going and you're repenting over the sins and the iniquities which takes out the legal right of the enemy. You're teaching believers how to stand in purity, in righteousness, and how to go before the Lord and stand in the gap. You're crying out for the Jubilee. We say in Hebrew, the Yovel revival, the Yovel outpouring. Isaiah 61. Deb, would you read that for us?
Yes. Isaiah 61, 1 through 4, I think it is.
Just like that.
The Spirit of Adonai Elohim is upon me, because Adonai has anointed me to announce good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom to the captive, to let out into light those bound in the dark, to proclaim the year of the favor of Adonai and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, yes, to provide for those in Zion who mourn, giving them garlands instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, a cloak of praise instead of a heavy spirit, so that they will be called oaks of righteousness, planted by Adonai, in which he takes pride. They will rebuild the ancient ruins, restore sites long restored. They will renew the ruined cities destroyed many generations ago.
You see, God's giving divine vision and purpose on a higher level to accomplish what's needed from the intercessors. The mantle of Joel's army is an umbrella authority that assures the victory, but we still have to do our part. Here are a few more words from Nita. So, Debbie, I'd like for you to share those.
Yes. This is from Chronicles, The Vision and the Journey, December 13, 2012. And these are Nita's words. Please listen. America is going to go through difficult times. However, the church is going to enter a protracted season of glory and grace that will offset the plans of the evil one. This glory will then bring America to a heightened usefulness and glory for the Lord. We will fulfill our destiny as a nation if we continue standing in prayer as Christ's church. Because the above is true, the Lord gave me, this is still Nita speaking, several visions that directed me to raise up an army of intercessors and call them Joel's army. This spiritual militia will break through things in the earth that will in turn allow the Lord to do great things. Through our prayers, we are actually building the last day's temple. Well, he is in conjunction with our intersection. I do not know who else is called to this endeavor. I simply know our part. Joel's army is meant to bring stability to this nation, as well as many other nations of the world that it would not otherwise have during the Great Transformation. Truly, the army has an important, no, critical function. This is still Nita speaking. We are contending not just for America, but for the kingdom of God to come. Standing and declaring in a perverse generation that God's will be done. Kingdoms will crumble because of it. Our intercession and prayer works covertly to undermine the attempts of the enemy to continue to try and bring havoc. See, he knows his days are numbered, that he's already been defeated, but this is his last attempt to stop the desires of the Lord's heart. You are standing day in and day out, proclaiming the will of God over our nation.
That's right, faithfully.
Yes, the day is coming when he will have a nation. And Nita also said, Joel's army, and this is from her book Melchizedek, what I'm reading now. Nita said, Joel's army is meant to bring stability to this nation, as well as other nations of the world. Truly, this army has a critical function.
I think you just read
I did, but she's
okay.
added to it.
Okay.
This spiritual militia will break through things in the earth that will in turn allow the Lord to do great things. God is raising up those who will not line up with deception. Truth is important. The Lord is raising up J.A. to digest his whole message. And Nita goes on, she said, I saw the end time royal army clothed in light coming up over a hill. These soldiers of light were marching, every man in his place, with no man breaking rank as they moved forward with one heart and mind toward the stronghold of the enemy. As they marched, the whole earth was shaking. The sound of their march was enough to terrify even the most valiant enemy soldier. I could see the armies of darkness stop what they were doing in their stronghold and search for the origin of the terrible sound. It was dark, but in the far distant hills, a light was rising over the horizon. They knew it was the army of the Lord.
Yes.
As the righteous army drew near, and the enemy saw the terrifying light coming from them and the fierceness of their countenance, they shook with fear. I could see their faces by the light of the moon, and they were utterly terrified. Bless the Lord.
Praise God. You and I are praying into this restoration. God will raise up those who will physically bring this about. But your intercession is paving the way and enabling this to come forth. What you're doing specifically in this nation, the prayers that you're praying in this nation, in your prayer cell, they are making a way for those that have to go behind the scenes, into the caves, into the tunnels, to free all these people and children trapped in human trafficking. Your prayers or enabling them to do their job. If we weren't praying on this level, if intercession was not going out on this level, their job would be much harder, if not absolutely impossible. So this is our assignment. It's not that we're doing everything. It's that we're doing the preliminary so that the ones that have boots on the ground are able to do their part. I want to remind you as a priest, it's the highest calling. The highest calling is ministering to the Lord.
Yes.
When we give ourselves an intercession, it ministers to the heart
yes.
of our Father.
Yes.
Joel's army is to be a voice, like Yochanan, like John the Baptist was a voice of truth,
yes.
of love and wisdom,
yes.
resounding in this hour of crisis, preparing the way for the Lord. It's Isaiah 40, 3 through 5, bringing down the high places, lifting up the low places, straightening out the crooked places, smoothing out the rough places, making level the ground, making the way for the glory of the Lord to be revealed. We're preparing the way for the Lord. You see, Joel's army is not a human concept. It's a heavenly concept. And it was reserved for this season of time for the preparation of the kingdom. God foresaw this before the foundation of the world, that he would cause a company of people to come forth that would be a people of God, an offspring of righteousness.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
You must understand that you are a part of this company of people.
Yes.
And those who enter into this dynamic, this has never happened before on this level. What God is talking about here has never happened before. We're on the even where we are in Joel's army. We're still on the fringes of what he's about to do. It was prophesied but now it's emerging. Remember the vision a while ago in Habakkuk. It said when it's released, it will not tarry, but it will come.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
What's about to happen, beloved, the angels have not even seen. We're coming to the fullness of time. The time when God is going to pour out all that you have been praying for. And it's not 10 years out, it's right at the door. He's giving those who have hunger and have a thirst for righteousness, He's pouring it out. Is that you? The Holy Spirit in His fullness is about to be poured out on a company of warriors called Joel's Army in these last days. Can you feel that stirring in your spirit? It's a witness of what the Holy Spirit is about to do. When this Yovel, this Jubilee revival, Isaiah 61 revival breaks forth in its fullness, it will be like the most unstoppable force.
Yes.
Everything will be moved by it.
Yes.
It's going to be like a tsunami that you can't get out of the way of. And it's going to happen so fast that the enemy can't react. And he will be devastated. His kingdom will be devastated. It will be the greatest move of God that has ever swept the planet.
Yes, thank you, God.
It will cause the body of Christ to rise up from its slumber.
Yes.
As a company of humble authority that will begin to change the landscape of the church. We've been praying for the church. We've been praying for the nations. This revival, this Isaiah 61 revival, is the answer. It will cause the church to stop playing with the world and come into its rightful place of power and authority. It will affect laws, shift governments, in every sphere of society. There's nothing that will not be moved by it. Joel's army is a corporate move that will sweep the earth for those who are willing to walk upright before God and emerge in a lifestyle of holiness like Yeshua and the apostles walked in. The emphasis of this people, Joel's army, will solely be the will of the Father, the will of God, preparing the way for His kingdom, for faith to be restored as it was given. This army will not only walk in true love, meekness, and holiness, but in the works of God to be manifest when and wherever they're needed to go.
Thank you, God.
At the head of this innumerable group will be the hidden ones, the mighty men and women of valor, and the Melchizedek priesthood. Do you see how it all ties? Do you see how it all fits together? It's bigger than we can imagine. It's bigger than we can think. It's past our understanding.
Yeah.
But the Spirit of God is doing the work. And He's doing it through our unity. He's doing it through us coming together and letting Him be God and letting Him speak strategies that need to take place in this hour. Beloved, this is the culmination of the ages. The latter days is spoken of in the scripture. The latter days will be greater than the former. And you and I are in training to become. As we've said many times, God is looking for a people who will learn how He does things. We will learn what God approves and what He disapproves of. What is needful and what is not needful. How to get the answers we need in intimate fellowship with Him. How to walk in love as He walked. And essentially, how to walk in union with Him. Some of our desires must change and some of our focuses must change. There's a divine alignment taking place right now. Suddenly what was very important to you and that you had given a lot of time to, you're starting to lose interest in. Because God is changing your desires. We have to see it from heaven's perspective. A mantle has been given to accomplish the work. And it's a whosoever will call. Whosoever will. Whosoever will enter in to the heart of the Lord, to what's needful, what he has need of in this hour. Not everyone in the body will initially see the need. So you are the forerunners. You are the ones that go before them. You are the ones that will learn and understand and grow and get his heart for intercession. And then those that come alongside of you, especially those who have not been joining with us or have not joined with us for years, you will help them. You will teach them. You will mentor them in how God does these things, how God speaks here. You will help them learn to hear the voice of the Lord and do what he says. You are beginning to see the value of obedience and this walk of the Spirit. Trusting him by faith and believing what he says, he will do. Because what he says, you will do. Yeshua said, greater works than these will you do. Can you believe for that? Can you see yourself in the role of heaven's perspective? That's what he needs us to see. This is the impartation that we all receive as we begin to cry out for it. You're training an army that needs to learn to hear his voice, that are humble yet powerful in him as he directs his army. Yeshua himself, Jesus himself, is the head of this company. He has made the way for us to walk here. You see, we see things too small in our eyes, but God is enlarging our tents, our capacity for truth, for his love, for the Spirit to flow through us. He is in the process of smashing idols and strongholds that have kept us bound so that we can be released into our destiny and eternal calling in God. This will eventually encompass the body of Christ as Isaiah 61 revival breaks forth and does its work that it needs to do. Keep in mind, I was speaking to you a moment ago and I said you're forerunners because the whole body of Christ, the whole intercessory community has not understood a lot of this at this level. Because the body will come into its calling and into its function in the earth. And we will go from the current lukewarm church to one who has a heart set on fire for the things that move the heart of God. The Word of God says in Romans 8:19, creation waits eagerly for the sons of God to be revealed. You have the opportunity to be a part of this company of believers that will be a part of this great restoration. A people that will not love their lives unto death. He will do this in us. We're coming into a final generation, and God is going to release special help to mentor his people. This next generation cannot make the mistakes that we have made. It is going to be a cleansing for the body. God will deal with the erroneous teaching, erroneous doctrines, and erroneous theologies that have been skewed by man to bring all the foolishness that you and I have seen. This move is set, will set the house of the Lord back in its intended place. We're about to set the boundaries instead of everything else setting the boundaries on us.
You know,
yes,
so
Lord.
What is it that Nita saw going down into the tectonic plates? She explained this while ago. Joel's Army prayer cells are what Nita saw going down into the tectonic plates. The mantle for this specific operation, Joel's Army at World for Jesus, is upon Nita.
Amen.
Yes.
See, we've been given specific assignments. Other ministries have their own specific assignments, but these were specifically given to her for this task. But this assignment has to do with holding not only holding this nation stable in times of shaking, but also the nations. The states that are not covered under Joel's Army prayer cells may be states that do not do well during the shaking. We have worked hard to see in every state that we could to get the response from intercessors to ensure this is covered. We want to hold the vision of God and behold that vision of God so that we're seeing the network, so that we're seeing these pylons, so that we're seeing this graph across the nation, this grid across the nation of Joel's Army prayer cells, because of the importance of what it's been given. We have to keep our focus on the instruction of the Lord through Nita. This will eliminate a lot of problems that the enemy would like to try and cause disruption in what we're doing. That is why we need to stay humble and not allow division or cliques to arise as she gives these orders. Just like a GOE, we move right into the area or subject to pray for what the Lord has need of in that area. It's kind of the same in Joel's Army. When we get these prayer points, we come and we intercede before God on what those points are, so that we can accomplish the will of the Lord. That point may be out there for a lot of weeks. That just simply means that there's not totally been enough intercession gone up, because when there is, the Lord will say, okay, you can let off that. So, you know, a lot of times we hear, why are we praying the same thing over and over?
You know, and I remember the vision that Nita had. You know, one of the initial visions that Nita had, where she saw the grid lines going across the nation, and she saw lights in the grid work, and she asked the Lord, what are those lights? And that's when he told her, said, those are prayer cells that will hold the nation steady, you know, during times of shaking.
Sure.
And I don't know about you guys, but with this past year, everything that's happened, we have been so thankful.
Yes.
That God did that.
Yes.
You know, we are so thankful for Joel's Army.
Yes.
You know, I remember when Nita came and said that the Lord had asked Joel's Army to take this commission, you
sure.
know, this assignment, I guess, not a commission, but this assignment,
that's right.
you know, of the extended prayer times that we've had, you know, the greater amount of prayer times that we've had, you know, for the past year throughout COVID, you know, and even into this year, you know, and with what happened in November, and even until now and this year, we're so thankful for the Lord bringing Joel's Army into play, because I've thought so often, Lord, where would we have been had Joel's Army not been in place and those tectonic plates not have been set with Joel's Army to
sure.
hold this nation steady. We're so very thankful.
Yes.
And I was in a prayer call when the Lord told me, he said, Joel's Army is my provision for the nation
yes.
and for the nations of the earth. You know, because when I see things that happen in nations, and there, I know there's no Joel's Army in that nation, my heart just breaks, and I cry, and I weep, and I'm saying, Lord, there's no Joel's Army there to stabilize what's going on. You know, it's so important. If we let the Lord just really let the vision of this sink down inside of us, and we see it's not just us meeting every week and praying. No, we're fulfilling what the Lord said. This is His provision for the nation and for the nations of the earth. It's His way of bringing stability and holding us stable. And only God knows just how much that's been needed. We've only seen part of what's been seen. But what the Lord has known that we haven't seen, all we can do is thank Him for His provision.
That's right. You see, Joel's army is also working to have God's will done over America, that God will have the refuge nation that He wants to have. So in the times of the Antichrist, times of fleeing other nations, where the Antichrist is trying to reign, that they'll have somewhere to come. It's because of these type prayers that we're praying in the prayer cells and in Joel's army. It's like I said earlier, that the people that are the boots on the ground are able to accomplish their assignments. God is able to hold back powers and dismantle age-old strongholds because you were fervent in prayer. He hopes that you will partner with His heart to see His will done. It actually goes further than that. It's about His kingdom coming, and His will being done on the earth, as we said a little while ago. It's one of the greatest privileges to serve in this way. You are a part of something that God chose to reveal and release in this period of time for His purposes. You were created for this purpose. This is one of the highest calls that God would choose for you. It's a monumental task. But you might say, it's so much bigger than anything I could ever do. Yes, that's the point. It's out of humility and willingness that God has called you to this place. You're not here by chance. This is a divine call, and we must honor it, and we must see it as such. A high honor and privilege that is reserved for one with a lowly heart. It's the calling that brings about the Hebrew word tikkun. Tikkun. Which is the word in Hebrew and English, restoration. It's Isaiah 40, verse 3 through 5. It's Isaiah 58, verse 12, that we read earlier, those. It's Isaiah 61, 1 through 4, that will supercharge this call, that Yovel Jubilee revival that Yeshua even spoke in the synagogue in Luke. When the Jubilee revival is loosed, the anointing will fall, and Joel's army will grow in an unprecedented way to fulfill the will of the Lord in America and in the nations. Joel's army, as she said, is provision He has made for the nation and the nations of the earth. And the head of this army is Yeshua Himself. Now, what we're going to do here,
I want to share with you a vision that the Lord gave to me about the out on the porch.
Okay.
That was about maybe 8 years ago.
Probably so.
Maybe. And I like to sit outside on the back porch and read my Bible. And this was early one morning. And I was reading from the book of Hebrews, and I'm just going to paraphrase what I was reading. I just finished reading Hebrews 11, you know, about, you know, all the what people call the hall of faith, you know, and I had gotten down to the end of the chapter where it says, you know, but they could not receive their reward without us because the Lord had planned something better that included us for them to get their reward. And when I read that, his anointing, I felt it so strong, I yelled, I screamed. And Ken came running from his office upstairs thinking something had hurt me, and he's running down, and he came outside. He said, "What's wrong?" Well, what had happened was when I read that, immediately the Lord spoke to me in a vision, and I saw, like in heaven, I saw our Lord, and he had taken the role of an orchestra conductor. And he was standing beside the podium, and he had this long score of music in front of him. In front of him was his orchestra, and the orchestra was divided into three sections. The section on the left was the angels. The section in the middle was the great cloud of witnesses. The section on the right was us down here on earth. And in front of the Lord was this beautiful piece of music, a musical score. It was very long. And he was telling all three groups what this music sounded like. Now, the music had never been played before. But he was describing the music in such a way that all three groups could almost hear the sound of the music. The thing about the three groups was their extreme reverence for our Lord and their extreme love for our Lord. And they had their instruments in their hands, and their heart was such that with more than anything, when they put that instrument to their mouth to blow or to play that instrument with their hands, they wanted that music to sound exactly like what he knew it was supposed to sound like. This music had never been played before. And so when he finished describing the music, he spoke to each group. He spoke to the angels. And he said, "Do you understand your part now?" And they said, "Yes, yes, Lord, we understand." And then he spoke to the great cloud of witnesses. And he said, "Do you understand your part?" "Yes, Lord, we understand." And then he turned to us people here on earth, and I held my breath. He said, "Do you understand your part?" And we said, "Yes, Lord." He said, "Good." And then he took a step and stood up on the podium. He had his baton in his hand, and he lifted his hands up. And when he brought his hands down, a glorious sound filled the earth. Now, I couldn't hear the sound. I just knew it was glorious. And I saw the look on his face. And I knew it was glorious. And he spoke these words to me. He said, "This is the culmin." And that's the way he said it. He put the emphasis on the word "is." He said, "This is the culmination of all things. It has never been done like this before."
Comes from Acts 3:2.
Yes, Acts 3:2.
Not 3:2, but in the book of Acts 3.
And we are here in this time. And we too have the privilege that we give to him what he knows it is to be, what he planned in this season of time, that we give to him what it is that his heart is so hungry for. You see, Joel's army, we're so thankful the Lord brought this revelation to Nita.
Yes.
But I want to share some prophetic words that came from other apostolic leaders who saw this move by the Spirit long ago. And I shared these with Nita the other day, and she cried. The first one was from Rick Joyner.
And 1989.
And this is from the book, The Harvest. In 1989, it's on pages 22 and 23. And here is what he said. In the coming days, the most powerful army ever assembled will be mustered. The army will not be equipped with guns or swords, but no power in heaven or earth will prevail against it. This is the army of God, envisioned by the prophets, soon to be a reality. This is Joel's army. And then Bobby Connor, in an article, November the 11th, 2003, the name of the article was Joel's Army, Now Commissioned. The cry of heaven is advance. And Bobby said, for years now, premier prophets such as Paul Kane and Bob Jones have been clearly prophesying, predicting the arising of an end-time army identified as Joel's Army. These predictions are long-standing and are now in the process of being fulfilled. Joel's army is now commencing to be called and commissioned. There is no need to hesitate. All who have a willing heart are summoned. The cry of heaven is, advance. And Bobby goes on, he said, in a prophetic experience, I was shown all who have a willing heart can now go to their spiritual mailbox, and there, they will discover a letter of induction into Joel's army. And then to read another one, this is from Bob Jones. Oh, one other thing Bobby said. What will Joel's army accomplish? Mighty signs and wonders on a level not experienced in our lifetime. These will not be so-called big shots. These will be ordinary, everyday men and women, boys and girls, with an awesome anointing of God's presence and power upon their life. Expect to see great and mighty displays and demonstrations of God's power. And then Bob Jones said in the fall of 1988, they will move into things of the supernatural that no one has ever moved in before. Every miracle, sign, and wonder that has ever been in the Bible, they'll move in it consistently. They'll move in the power that Christ did. Every sign and wonder that's ever been will be many times in the last days. They themselves will be that generation that's raised up to put death itself underneath their feet and to glorify Christ in every way. And the church that is raising up in the government will be the head and the covering for them, so that that glorious church might be revealed in the last days, because the Lord Jesus is worthy to be lifted up by a church that has reached the full maturity of the God-man. And that's from Visions and Revelations, fall 1988. Then Paul Kane, according to Paul Kane, when he was 19 years old, he saw the angel of the Lord. The angel was standing in his majesty like a warrior, and he had a bright and shining sword in his hand. With that sword, he pointed up to a billboard that had a sign on it that said, and it was all in quotation, I mean, all in capital letters. And on the billboard, it had a sign that said, Joel's Army, now in training. Now remember, he was 19 years old when he saw this.
Sure.
He asked the Lord what it meant, and the Lord took him by the hand and walked him through the book of Joel. Now, Paul Kane died about 4 years ago.
2014.
He died in 2016.
16.
And he was 80-something years
yeah.
old, so yeah. he saw this when he was 19.
Probably in the 40s or 50s.
And Paul had this recurring vision for 35 years about Joel's army. I'll read this and then I'll talk. Paul Kane says that out of this unity will come an army, Joel's army, based on Joel 2. And this is Paul speaking. I told you about this recurring 35-year-old vision I had. Now, Paul said that he would ask the Lord, you know, almost every day he would ask the Lord, is it time? Is it time? And the Lord would say, no, it's not time. Because he had been waiting since he was 19 years old.
That's right. For
and every,
fulfillment.
For this fulfillment. And the Lord would tell him every time, no, it's not time. Then Paul continued. He said, the angel of the Lord said, you're standing at the crossroads of life. And he was speaking this back in the early, I think, 1980s, when he was speaking what I'm telling you now.
That's right.
The angel of the Lord said, you're standing at the crossroads of life. What do you see? And I saw a brilliantly lit billboard that reads, Joel's Army, now in training. And Paul said, I believe one day soon, Joel's Army will be in training until it graduates into the stadiums. But a right understanding of the plan of God for this generation brings this tremendous inclusion. God is offering to you this present generation a greater privilege than was ever offered any generation at any time, from Adam clear down through the millennium. This is Paul continuing to speak. I had a vision of people coming from a circle of maybe 100 miles, and I saw people coming from every major city within that circumference. And a great conclave was taking place, and it was the training of Joel's army. I believe that people are going to come together by the thousands and train for the army of the Lord. Wouldn't that be wonderful, Paul said. I mean, that's long overdue. And when I read that to Nita, she cried and she said, that's what I saw. This is exactly what I saw. You know, there are others that saw the same thing, not the same thing, but saw Joel's army. It's what I'm referring to. I'm just going to read briefly just part of one last one. This was given to Mary Baxter. She wrote the book, The Divine Revelation of Hell, Time is Running Out. And this is the Lord speaking to her. And he said, behold, I am preparing a holy army. They will do mighty exploits for me and destroy your high places. They are an army of holy men and women, boys and girls. They have been anointed to preach the true gospel, to lay hands on the sick, and to call the sinner to repentance. This is an army of working men, housewives, single men, single women, and school children. The Lord had told me several years ago, prepare for the children's division of Joel's army.
Praise God.
They are common people, for not many noble have responded to my call. In the past, they have been misunderstood and mistreated, abused and rejected. But I have blessed them with boldness, in my holiness and in spirit. They will begin to fulfill my prophecy and do my will. I will walk in them, talk in them, and work in them. These are they who have turned to me with all, this is the Lord still speaking, who have turned to me with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. This army will awaken many to righteousness and purity of spirit. I will soon begin to move upon them to choose for my army those I desire. I will search for them in the cities and in the towns. Many will be surprised at those I have chosen. You will see them begin to move across the land and do exploits for my name's sake. Watch and see my power at work. This army, which was spoken of by the prophet Joel, will arise from the land and do great works for God. The Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. He shall tread down the wicked, and they shall be ashes under the soles of his feet. They shall be called the army of the Lord. I will give gifts unto them, and they will accomplish mighty works. They shall do exploits for the Lord of glory, and I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy. This army shall fight against the forces of evil and destroy much of Satan's work. They shall win many to Jesus Christ before the day of the evil beast arises. That's just a few of the prophetic words. The biggest one is the book of Joel itself. You know, the Lord has a plan. He's just asking us to come and join in and be a part of his plan.
So we're thankful for the opportunity and for the Lord to help us see what this is. This is, like I said before, this is not just a ministry in the sense, but it's a calling to one of the greatest things that you could ever be called to. It's such a blessing to be here, such a blessing to be along beside Nita and this team and you. It's such a blessing in our life because we're fulfilling a part of what God has called us to in this hour. And so we need to see it as God has given it, not how we would see things in the natural, but spiritually understand. I've asked the Lord tonight before we started. I didn't do it online, but I asked the Lord to call your spirit to attention, that everything that would be said tonight would minister to your spirit and take you to a deeper place in God. And I'm thankful for what he's doing. I'm thankful for Nita, for Ricky, and this team. I'm thankful for every intercessor that has walked with us through this process and continues to walk through us with this process. And I thank God for the intercessors that he's going to bring in from the north, south, east, and west. I thank God for the intercessors that he's going to bring in from those states where we don't have Joel's Army intercessors.
And I
thank God for the state coordinators and points people he's going to raise up in the states that we do not have that leadership in. So I want you to join with me. I'm just saying this for you. I want you to join with us in prayer because we need to see these things come up in this hour. We need people to arise from these states, hear the calling. Many people, they join calls just like this, or they come to a GOE, and they say what Ricky often says. They say, you know what? I've never heard of you guys before, but you know what? I'm home. I've come home. There are a lot of intercessors out there, and they're in different places, but they may not be in what they're called to do. They just may be where they are. They don't know about ministries like this and with this calling. And so, and from the nations as well. But the Lord connects them with us in some way, through an email, through a friend. And they come and they hear and they see and they say, you know, I really feel like I'm home. A lot of these people have been searching for years for this because they didn't know it existed at this level for what it is. And so we just call them in tonight. across this globe, from the north, south, east, and west, we call them in to God's call for their lives, and especially those called to Joel's army, that they would come and they would humble themselves and they would just learn of the Lord. They would see how He does things here. They would see how God functions and what He's doing here, and how He gives Nita these directives and these different things, how He gives Ricky visions too, that we could enter into what He's called us to do, to give us understanding to what we're here for and what we're doing. We're on the precipice of this mighty revival. And this time is very critical for this nation. And Joel's army plays a major, major role in that. These prayer cells, specifically, I'm talking specifically about prayer cells right now. These prayer cells are those things that go down, those pylons that go down into the tectonic plate. We need strong Joel's army prayer cells. We need people that will move from prayer cell member, be open to becoming a prayer cell leader, and be willing to step out and begin to lead. And we thank God for you, because you are fulfilling this end time call. We bless you and we thank you. And I'll turn it over to John or Ricky, whoever's coming next.
I think you're up next, Ricky. Is that right?
Thank you, John. Yes. Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Ken and Debbie. That was just so beautiful. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Ricky, can I just say one thing?
Sure, sure.
Yeah, I thought that was really awesome too. You guys really did an awesome job in presenting that. And anybody that felt the Spirit move upon them as they were sharing, you need to get hold of Nita's book, Melchizedek, if you haven't read it yet, because that will just, it will just light a fire on the inside of you, and it will be a motivating thing, and it will open up and give understanding to a lot of things that were being shared. So, amen.
Thank you, John. So, I'm going to share with you a little bit about my personal journey in Joel's army and the things that the Lord has shown me for Joel's army. And one of the reasons why we are bringing this to you right now is because breakthrough is coming. And this is a time now for us to not to step back and not to let up, but to actually engage and step into the momentum that we have gained in the Spirit, in our own lives before God, but in the nation itself. And we wanted to give you this opportunity to hear about Joel's army and understand the prophetic call and commission that is Joel's army. It's so important for the end times. And when where do I start, Lord? You know, I've shared this, and I know Mama shared this. We know that this nation has been created to be a refuge nation. It's a place where the end time revival will be birthed, and the pathway for this is prayer. And as Ken shared, as Mom shared, once this end time revival begins, it is going to sweep us off, and it will not end. And I have been seeing this. I have been seeing waves of His glory coming in. I've seen it. I've felt it. It comes in like in smoke, in like tangible smoke. It, you know, it billows over me, and it captivates me in very sudden moments. that I very much unexpected moments, and it's been happening for the last couple of weeks. And so we know that we're very close, and we want this opportunity, this time right now, to be this time that you engage with this and with this commission. You know, when the Lord commissioned the ministry to begin Joel's Army, and as you've heard, it was many, many years ago, you know, as an administrator, you know, I listened to it by live stream while Mom released it in from New Orleans. So I knew logistically this task was involved in connecting the hundreds of interested parties that began to stream in as it was being announced. I knew logistically what would be involved in that. And with my current responsibilities, I just didn't feel like I could add that part of it to my schedule. But the Spirit of the Lord had other plans, and He began to draw me in. And it was like setting up a worldwide corporation with end time ramifications, you know. And God brought the right people in at the right time to help us establish this. And we are so thankful for the people that have worked in this arm of our ministry. We are so grateful for Don and Lynn Warner. We're so grateful for John Woodbrook. We're so grateful for Ken and Debbie Clark. We're so grateful for Hong Jin. We're so grateful for Pastor Debbie and John Chin. And we are so grateful for Una Kang and Andreas Haneo. I know I'm butchering his name, and I am just so sorry. But he's now working to help us with the translation on the Hispanic side. And so we are so grateful for each person that has stepped in to help launch Joel's Army. So the more we developed this arm of the ministry, the more I understood the end time ramifications. And really, it was the eternal ramifications of this arm of our ministry. So the greater my inner need of this to become involved on a spiritual level, let me tell you, the more I heard this, I was drawn in. I didn't know I was an intercessor until I was an intercessor. I didn't know I was an intercessor until I went to my first GOE. And I want to thank Adrian Lee as well, because he helped to translate so much of our work, and he was integral, just such a pivotal person in what we've done in Joel's Army. And we want to thank him too. He and Debbie has worked really, really hard on some of our materials. So thank you, John, for that reminder. But when I came to a GOE and I walked in the door, and I basically cried for 3 days. That's when our GOEs were 3 days long. I just wept and wept and wept. And the Lord began to, because I didn't want to be a weeper. I just didn't want to be a weeper. I wanted to be a warrior, right? And that was a difficult transition for me. But when I went into the GOE, I just wept and wept and wept. And as I wept for the nation, the Lord began to heal me, and He did a deep work in me. It was a beautiful work, a beautiful thing that God did in healing me from my own bad decisions of the past and pathways that I took myself on. You know, I am truly a prodigal child, and that's why my cry for the prodigals is so deep. But the Lord healed me as I prayed for the nation. And that's the merciful heart of God, to be honest with you. But the more I got involved, then when we brought in Joel's Army, I started to get involved when we had the support team that we needed in setting things up. And many of you probably received a phone call from me over this period as we were setting things up. And I'm just talking about some of the technical things, because those are the small things that make Joel's Army what it is today. And but when we started our PCL training and I started engaging in PCL training, the Lord grabbed hold of me and he said, this is why I created you. This right here. You have to do this. You will never find your peace. You will never find your contentment. You will never be the warrior you want to be. You will never be the intercessor that you're learning to be if you do not engage. And it was in that moment that I knew that I too had found my tribe. I found my home. And there's sisterhood, there's family, there's strength, there's support. And we've lost some of our members as they've gone on to be with the Lord. But the Lord is bringing in additional members to war with us and be this family that he has created, to be the stability in the nations. You say, well, if revival is coming, then why do we need Joel's army to keep things stable? Because when revival comes, the enemy will kick up. We forget that. When we were at a GOE, I had a vision, and I saw Joel's army members, and they were, you know, pressed down into that tectonic plate. But I also saw the Joel's army members, you know, because they're bringing stability in the nations, but I also saw them above the earth, and I saw the connection of the Joel's army intercessors. So if there were three, you know, they all connected. So there's a triangle. If there was a fourth, then we had two triangles. If there was a fifth, you know, then you had three triangles. There was this connection until they formed a net that surrounded the earth. And this net was in gold. And it was a beautiful covering that moved with the earth. It moved with the attacks. It moved with the enemy's attempt to assault this nation or nations of the earth. It moved with that, and it was a buffer to those attacks so that the severity of those attacks were minimized greatly. And in areas that we have a strong core of Joel's army intercessors, you will find that even the natural disasters that occur in the earth are minimized. Because God honors the faithful intercessions of his children. He is a covenant-keeping God. And he is faithful to his promises. The verse that we use is 2 Chronicles 7:14. And in that verse, and translators, I have jumped, and I am so sorry. If you can just go over to page 4 really quick. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, it says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. He covenanted. This was a covenant promise that God made. This was a prayer that came through Solomon after the temple was dedicated. This was a time when the glory of the Lord poured down on the earth. It's one of the peak impartations of the presence of God historically in the earth. One of the peak periods took place in Solomon's prophetic prayer. Solomon's prophetic word that he received from the Lord. He went through all of the sins, whether it was locusts, whether it was pestilence, whether it was drought, famine, war. He laid it all before the Lord. And the answer that came from the Lord, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. We humble ourselves, he hears us. We pray and seek his face, he forgives our sin. We turn from our wicked ways, and he will heal our land. That's the promise of God. That is what Joel's Army does. That's what Joel's Army prayer cell members, we have prayer cell leaders. We have lots of information on the details of this on our website at worldforjesus.org on the Joel's Army page. We're here to tell you what the Lord is saying in this hour, and this is a divine clarion call for Joel's Army. That's what tonight is, a divine clarion call for Joel's Army. We are presenting this with you and to you right now, because after a year, over a year of intense intercession, that breakthrough is just around the corner. And I feel it. I feel it. I feel it in the spirit. God is preparing us for the next phase. You have grown as intercessors. This is what the Lord told me, that you have grown as intercessors, and there is momentum now. When the breakthrough comes, what will you do? Will you take a break? Will you pull back? Or will you allow this season to be the season you are launched further in God than you ever thought possible? Will you continue that you might reap the harvest? Will you continue? Monday night, so this was a couple nights ago, I had an experience. This was April 26th. And this experience lasted for probably an hour. Now, I had been before the Lord, and I had been seeking his face about this week and what he wanted to say. And, you know, really the message right now is return. It's the return. That's the season that we're in, is the return. And I'll talk more about that in a minute. But I had this experience, and I had been with the Lord a lot that day and just in his presence in preparation for this. And I laid down. And I was laying down to go to bed, and I was—I found myself on a people mover, like a conveyor belt, you know, like they have in the airports. And I was walking along. I was outside, but I was on a people mover, and it was moving so fast that my hair was blowing straight back behind me. My grandchildren were running around me, but they were keeping speed with me. And I was praying in the spirit the whole time, and it intensified as I moved forward. And I asked the Lord what it meant. And he told me, we are entering a period of acceleration in the spirit. Those who stay the course will be partakers of this acceleration. And like I said, over the past 2 weeks, I have experienced the glory all around me. And it's remarkable. Because his presence comes in so thick, he's warm. You're not cold, you're not hot. His presence is thick. It stops you in your tracks. I could be doing laundry, and he comes in. And he washes over me, and it takes me back. Because he courses through me. And I just stop. I can be in prayer in my time with him early in the morning. I wake up in the middle of the night and he's there. He sweeps over and around me. And I've been seeking his face. We are so close to this release. It's becoming tangible. We cannot lose the momentum that we've gained in him over the course of the last year. The enemy would like nothing better than to have you look at the circumstances around us. And become discouraged. He would like nothing better than to encourage you once this breakthrough has come. And encourage you to take a break, relax, you've worked hard. That is the trickery of the serpent feeding our flesh. As difficult as this past year has been, we've made tremendous headway in the spirit because of our collective diligence and perseverance. We did not let up, and you stayed right by our side. We have people that have called in from other nations because they know how critical America is to the end time harvest. They know how critical it is to keep this light lit in a flame for the kingdom of heaven. We've got to stop looking at the temporal and look at the eternal. When we start looking at the eternal side of things, the circumstances that we see right now today, they become irrelevant to us. Because we see through the deception and the facade of the enemy and into what God is about to bring forth. This is where he's taking his people. In Joel chapter 2, this is where we find the seven R's. That's why we talk about Joel chapter 2. And I'm not going to read the entire chapter, although I would love to do that. But I'm not going to do that. And I encourage you to get your Bible. And if you have your pen, let me give you this scripture. And I'm going to lay this out for you. If you look at Joel chapter 2, verses 1 through 11, you'll see the revelation of what's coming and what needs to be done to avert it. If you look at verses 12 through 14, you will see the return or the renewal in God. Joel's army births this. These verses I want to read to you, and then I'll tell you about the other R's and where you'll find those in the Joel chapter 2. Verse 12, therefore also now, says the Lord, turn and keep on coming to me with all your heart, with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, until every hindrance is removed, and the broken fellowship is restored. Rend your heart and not your garments, and return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness, and he revokes his sentence of evil when his conditions are met. Who knows but what he will turn? Revoke your sentence of evil and leave a blessing behind him, giving you the means with which to serve him, even a cereal or meal offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God. The renewal in God is found here. The return to God. the promise of those who come before him. Verse 15 through 17, you'll find the repentance. Verses 18 and 19 is reconciliation. And these are the seven R's I'm referring to. Verse 20 is the revolution. Verses 21 through 25 is the revival. Verses 26 to 27 is reclamation. And verses 28 to 32 is reformation. And reformation is, you know, we've already begun to see this. Reformation came at our first year Reformation began. The spirit of reformation was released. And we have seen this result in our nation. And it's one of the reasons why we've had such shaking. You know, you don't just you could do a clean sweep. It's not going to be that pretty, but you could do a clean sweep. But the shaking uproots things that are not of God, and it makes way for the things that are of God. Reformation, we see this historically and its impact in the church, in a nation, and in the earth. So tonight, we come before you as leadership in this ministry, as teachers, apostles, as prophets, and we speak to you about what God is saying in this hour, what God is saying in this hour. He is saying it's time to step into your call. It's time to answer the call. You will never be fulfilled until you've stepped into the call. You will know it when you're in it. We provide training and we help you understand what it means to be an intercessor, the types of intercession. We provide field kits for you. We have teaching series that we send you, and we send you Overcoming Life Through Prayer, and we send you Melchizedek, I believe. We also send that out. We don't charge for any of this. We connect you with people in your area after you go through the interview process. If you're not in the United States, we have plans for you as well. We have translations available. The call and the commission is a high call. It's the highest in this hour. The call is going forth. It is a clarion call to step into your reason for being created. Whether you're young, whether you are old, it doesn't matter. It's the call of the Lord upon you that draws you in. It's the commission that causes you to feel like you're home when you meet with your brothers and sisters and pray. There's warfare. There's weeping. But we're the family of intercessors who are birthing the end time revival. Birthing and bringing forth the stability and the protection of the nations of the earth. It's a lowly position in the earth. But before the Lord, It's a high calling. He was, when he walked this earth, an intercessor. You can see his intercession, especially in the Gospel of John. As he prays for us, he prayed for his disciples. He prayed for those of us that would be on this line tonight. He got up early and interceded. Before he went into his passion, he wept before God because he knew it was only in his presence that he would have the strength to fulfill his call. So it's a high calling. Lowly in the eyes of man, that reaps great rewards. The Lord is calling us to press in on behalf of the nations, that they'll return to God. The return is upon us. Return to God, that he might send forth his glory. The Bible tells us that his glory will wash over the earth like the oceans. We're about to see that. And I know that Mom is about to share, and I want to... I'm not ending this or cutting this short. I just want to share that for those of you who are on our email list tomorrow, or if you're on our Telegram page, tomorrow I will be sending out an email that has links for online application, because we do have an application process so that we are connecting, you know, people with like-minded people. We don't want to put you in danger, of course. So we have an interview process and an application process. But I'll send out the link for the online submission for applications for the English, for the Chinese, for the Spanish, and for the Korean speaking. So we have each one of them available to you. And I will get those sent out to you tomorrow. So if you're not on our e-news, you can sign up for that on our website. It's worldforjesus.org. And the applications are on the Joel's Army page. You can see them there if you want to fill out one tonight. But I do want to hand this over to Mom so that she can share. It's such a profound commission that God placed upon her. And what an honor. And what a privilege it is. I mean, what Ken and Debbie shared, it's very true. It's an honor and a privilege to serve in this army. We know the difficulties. We know the difficulties that our Joel's Army members, who you're not seeing their faces, but we pray with them, we weep with them. We know the warfare that they've had to go through being an intercessor of this caliber. And we love and honor each one of them as well. They're true warriors. But it is an honor and a privilege to be a part of this. And it's an honor and a privilege to serve with you all in this army. I really love you guys. Thank you. Go ahead, Mom.
Thank you, everyone. While this has just been beautiful, I had no idea the kinds of things that they would be saying tonight, how they see Joel's Army. And how they understand the commission. we talk about it, but to have it laid out the way that they've done tonight, it's been like drinking a really nice glass of cold spring, mountain spring water. It's been wonderful. If I could add anything, and I'm not sure I can, I would say this. Jesus, as we all know, is our mediator. He lives to make intercession for the saints. This is his chief job. This is the job of the priesthood. His chief job is not to be king, although he is. His chief job is not to be a heavenly carpenter, but to be a priest, to be an intercessor for the body of Christ. Prayers such as he prayed in the book of Matthew, Ricky talked about the book of John. Prayers that Paul prayed, Colossians, Ephesians, and the many prayers that he offered to us. You can go to the Psalms and find some amazing prayers that were prayed. And Solomon. Well, in many books, we can find amazing prayers that turned the heart of God. But we're coming into a time worldwide where the warfare between darkness and light is going to heighten. Darkness has Lucifer as their head. Lucifer was kicked out of heaven and its heavenly reign by our God. He was kicked out and placed into hell, where he will spend eternity once all things are completed. So we start at the top of the ladder. Lucifer's not even on the ladder, but we start at the top of the ladder because of Christ. And knowing all things, he knows that he has created an army of intercessors, the likes of which have never been seen on the earth before. He wishes to bring forth his nature in these people. He wishes to bring forth his character, because that's when they're the safest. And really, we need to know the heart of our commander-in-chief. And the more we know that, the more devastating we become to the enemy's camp. Authority is not something that you get just because you want it. Authority has to be earned. Salvation is a free gift. Authority is not. As you climb the ladder of authority, you have to earn every step with character. with virtue. The higher the authority he gives you, the greater the virtues of Christ must live in you. There are those who can talk very sweetly, very softly, male and female, very kindly, very much like they're submitted. But then you press their button once and you find out that this is what they want to be, but not what they are. And so he knows the level of authority that each and every one have been prepared to receive at any given time, because he knows the heart of each and every one. And if you're not ready for level 10, he's not going to give you level 10 if you're not ready for it, because mistakes at that level bear stronger discipline. You're capable of receiving the discipline at that level, and he must be able to give you that kind of discipline, because if you make a mistake with that level of authority, you can hurt a lot of people. So if I were to say, well, what are the most important virtues? I would say humility, love, and obedience. If you walk in those three to human and divine authority, God will write your ticket for you. In this hour, his heart is crying out for people who want to let go of the ways of the world and find the joys, the completeness, the wholeness, the life purpose of walking in the virtues of Christ and using you to combat the devils of hell successfully. He wants to use you to help him change the world. He wants to use you to help him save the world. He wants to use us to bring his glory, not man's, his glory to the world. Man's glory is no glory at all. It is like a wasted piece of cloth that is good for nothing except the fire. But his glory is enduring. It's eternal. It's enduring. And it will make you more beautiful, more handsome, you might say, than you can ever make yourself, because it is the very nature and character of Christ. His purity, his holiness, his righteousness, his gentleness, his goodness, his love, and so on and so on. The Lord is yearning for this hour. I have seen in my own life that literally from the day I was born till the day I gave my heart to him, everything that I ever encountered, everything I ever suffered, had a purpose in preparing me to die, that he may live in me himself. It had a purpose in preparing me for this call, the call of the gatherings, which in every nation they enter, God uses them to make tremendous changes in those nations. But it's because he has total freedom. I don't try to compel him to do anything. I don't ask him, can we do this, can we do that? No. I sit before him until I hear what he wants to do and how he wants to do it. So that's a special field all of his own. Then we have Joel's army. Again, fields all across the nation of intercessors, beautiful, sacred intercessors, people that are so precious in the heart of God, so precious and so beautiful in the heart of Christ. And through these means and other ministries who are raising up intercessors, but through these means, he is, you might say, salting the earth with the power to keep it, to ensure that it's going to survive and prosper. When you get to heaven, if there's never a reward here, which quite the opposite is true, I promise you. But if there were no reward here, when you get to heaven and the Lord waves his hand and says to you, I want you to look at all these people that came to meet you. All these people are people that are in heaven today because you prayed. It's true. We will meet the people who gave their hearts to Christ because we prayed. And in a situation like this, when the call and the commission is to raise up these armies, satellite armies, for this very purpose, you will meet people from all over the world that are in heaven. Many of them maybe before you get there. And the Lord Jesus Christ himself will introduce you to these people and them to you. Your first words in heaven may be tears of joy that he used your sacrifices to bring such great pleasure to his heart to protect these people from the jaws of hell. I've been to heaven many times. I don't know how many times. I've been to hell many times. I don't know how many times. I would be supremely delighted if I didn't ever have to go again. It is a horrible place to go to. It's horrible for the Lord to stand next to you in front of these cells of people who are crying their heads off in pain. And he's crying because he can't free them. They made the decision to go to that place. They're eating their own fruit. He can't change it. He submitted his will to theirs. And to see him crying over myriads of people that neither one of you can do anything to affect the pain that they're in is a horrible experience. But you never have to be a part of that, because heaven's experience is what I just shared with you. The freedom of meeting like-minded people who came to love the Lord Jesus Christ the same way you did, because you prayed. You didn't know them. You didn't know their name. You didn't know what country they were going to be from. But you just, when the Holy Spirit called you to pray, you prayed. You didn't know that this person was going to end up in heaven because of your tears of intercession. You look at America. If America is unrighteous, most of the nations are going to be unrighteous. It's just men follow the leaders. America is the supreme leader. So if America is unchallenged in righteousness, by righteousness, then these nations will follow. And they will believe what America believes, which is that God is not important. But if America is falling on its knees, praying for the nations of the earth and becoming the father of nations, the way God intended when he created America, these people will become people of the kingdom because America turned. We're not just going to affect America because we pray. Every nation, every person in every nation that gives their heart to Christ because of what they saw Christ do to America, that person is also part of your gift to the Lord when you go to heaven. So you cannot spend time in prayer without affecting eternal value. It's not possible. Ricky, you know, humbly said that she used to be a prodigal. But I want to tell you, she had a praying mother. She had a praying grandmother. But she really had a praying mother. I never saw her in that time the way she saw herself. I always saw what she would be when she came back running 100 miles an hour for Jesus. And that's exactly what she does. But she did it because someone prayed. Who knows how many people prayed for her over the years that never knew who this person was that they kept praying for. But today, maybe she's met a lot of them. I don't know. Only God knows. I'm just trying to say, if you can look at Ricky and say, I can't believe that she was ever a prodigal. Well, I'm her mom, and I can't believe it either. She's my joy. Prayer changes things. It changes people. It changes churches. It changes cities. It changes states. It changes nations. And ultimately, it will change heaven because there are going to be so many people there that wouldn't have been there had you not prayed. So as you're considering whether or not this would be a great endeavor for you, please consider the eternal things that prayer promotes and evokes and provokes. Consider the eternal things that you're going to go home to, never knowing the mountain of gifts that will be waiting for you because of the souls that came into the kingdom because you prayed. In addition to that, and this is one of my favorite parts, people used to ask me, why do you pray so much? And I would tell them, when I used to sell real estate, I thought if I really want to be successful in real estate or in management, then I need to get to know what the people are like that are successful. What do they do that makes them successful? And the things that I can adapt to myself, do. Things I can't, let them go. So when I got saved, I thought, if I want to be what God wants me to be in the end of my life, I need to get to know the author of my life. And I need to get to know him close up. How he is, how he feels, what he thinks. And I've learned in many years of that sort of mindset that Jesus often thinks quite differently than the church does. And so the church is going in one direction all too often when the Lord is going the other. So we really, really need to get to know him, try to understand him, try to understand the way he thinks, the way he feels, the way he does things, why he does things. And as we do, the more we understand our Maker, the more we're going to walk in peace, joy, love, so on and so forth, the comfort of the Holy Spirit. And I'm sorry, I don't think you can do that unless you've got a prayer life. I don't think you can do that unless you've got a word life. You just will keep missing the mark. I love my time with him. And I just wouldn't change it for anything. So my plea to you tonight might be this. If you're with Joel's Army, thank you. You're already learning the things that I'm sharing tonight and that the others have shared. You're learning how to be selfless. You're learning how to be a lover of humanity and a lover of Christ. If you're not part of JA and you have not developed a prayer life, then my heart to you is jump in the water. Don't just dip your toe. Jump in. Because if you do it with that kind of abandon, the waters that you will jump in will be the most wonderful waters a human being can ever know. So for your own growth, for your own happiness, for your own contentment, and maybe for your destiny, I would say, join us. Consider praying about joining us. Let us talk to you. Let us help you in answering any questions you may have, so that you can make the decision. And if you like the decision, we'll take a look at it and see if we can make it a match. We love you. We care very, very much about everyone that's on this line. And I pray for you all to know a deeper Christ, that your life can be all he desires to make it. Let me pray, please. Yeshua, Jesus, the altogether beautiful one. We thank you that you've been with us tonight. We thank you that you've helped us share the heart that you've built in us. We thank you for your great love for mankind. We thank you that you have such a great desire to bring us to perfection as only you can. Because you're jealous for us with a godly jealousy. And you want to hand us to the Father, pure, mature, not lovers of self, but lovers of the kingdom of our Lord, of our Father. If I can only pray one thing for the people that are online, may they know and live and walk in your love all the days of their life. They, their mates, their children, grandchildren, how great you are, Lord. Thank you for your blessing. The blessings of the kingdom. Thank you for distributing and displaying such holy things on we, your people. I bless them. Because you bless them. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name.